A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Bert Kreischer.
A Netflix comedy special. On a theater stage, sparkling gold curtains and blue footlights. Bearded Bert walks on stage wearing black pants and a loose blue button-down shirt. He sets a glass of water on top of a stool and waves to the crowd. With a wide open mouth smile, he approaches a mic on a stand. He rips open his shirt. In slow motion, the buttons fly off and land on the stage. He takes off the shirt and tosses it aside, revealing a robust round belly. The multicolored title appears, Bert Kreischer, Razzle Dazzle. He takes the mic off the stand.
Yes! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you, yes. You look beautiful, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I look beautiful. Thank you, sir. This is the skinniest fat I've ever been. Yeah, I know. I'm so fat when I jog, my ass hair is tying a knot. Yeah, you don't even know what's happening. It's really a treat. You get in the shower, get a handful of soap, give yourself a little credit card action.
He reaches behind his back.
And you get denied. I'm talking rope, ladies, ass cheek to ass cheek. Usually it comes free, most hairy men. And
he points.
Some Italian women will tell you that. You can just put your finger on top and tug it free, like when you sleep in a braid, same thing. One time I was on vacation and it wouldn't come free. Like I'm in the shower tugging. And I'm panicking too, because I gotta take a shit. We don't do something about this quick, we're gonna have a Play-Doh factory down there. So, I get out of the shower, I grab my pocket knife. I walk over to my wife. I go, I need to know if you're on my team or off my team. She's like, I'm on your team. My wife's a redneck, I should have told you that. Like. On our marriage application in her hometown, third question, are you blood relatives? I go, what do we put for three? And the lady goes, well, is ya? I go, I don't think we is. She goes, well, then put down that chain. I go, I'm not right, Nate. That means we is. So I hand my wife a pocket knife and I go, we have a problem. I turn around, show her the affected area.
He bends over.
And she says, why did you do that? Fantastic question, Leanne. You know, I figured we're on vacation. Lady by the pool's like, braid your hair, braid your hair. I go, I didn't do this on purpose, fuck nut. Now get to cutting, Sweeney Todd. I'm cresting down here. She's like, I ain't doing that. I was like, I hate to break your heart, redneck. I think you is. As a matter of fact, you're the only person on this island that will be cutting these ass hairs. I can't call the front desk and be like, send up a sure-handed boy. Better yet, who does your hedges? I like his work. She goes, no, I ain't. And she puts the knife down and turns on the hairdryer as if our conversation's over. Oh, you want to play games? Let's play fucking games. I grab the knife. I'm still naked, mind you. I sit down on the bed facing her, lay on my back, kick my feet in the air like a baby getting his diaper changed, and just go, wah! Baby's got a naughty asshole. I didn't even hear my daughters walk in the room.
He raises his palms.
All I heard was, oh my God, Dad's vagina! Scared the shit out of me! I hop up naked with a knife like I'm fighting two hookers for my wallet.
Bert strikes a fight pose.
Leanne doesn't even know what's going on in the room. She just sees the commotion, cuts off the hairdryer and goes, fine, give me the knife, I'll cut your asshole. My daughters are shell-shocked. They're like, what the fuck are you two doing? They storm out. I get in trouble. She goes, you know, heads up, you're not supposed to show your daughters your dick.
He holds up one finger.
I was like, objection, Amber Heard. That's not what happened. Yeah. Walk it back, sister.
Beckoning.
Yes. First off, they didn't just see my dick, okay? That would have been a walk in the park. They saw all of it, the trilogy, all three stories. Asshole, dick, and balls, the Middle East! Secondly, I didn't show them my dick. I wasn't like, hey, girls. You almost done your homework? Cool, meet me in the garage at 15. There's something I want to show you.
He paces across the stage.
They didn't even see good dick either. That's what bothered me. No, hang on. Hear me out. I'm not saying I want it to be rock hard, but like...
He shrugs.
Pretty hard. You can't send your daughters to college thinking their dad's got the smallest dick in the world. First time they get a guy naked, they're like, now that's a cock. Shit. Yeah, my dad has a penis. That's a cock. You could whip that out at a party. My dad's got something you could show a nurse. They saw belly dick. Just sitting there, defenseless. Just.
He leans back.
Looks like a whale breaching. Just caw. Can't tell where it starts, but you know where it stops. Looks like a little boy looking in a well. What's going on in here?
Peering through one eye.
The fuck? I saw my dad naked. A lot. One time he got in the shower with me because I was taking too long and he had to go to work. I was in ninth grade. Yeah, I panicked and did the old Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Just...
He tucks his knees together and wiggles.
I saw my mom naked. Not a lot, but enough. Enough that the first time I got a chick naked, I was like, where's your C-section scar? My wife's honest with them. She's honest, 100% honest, all the time. The other night we're at dinner, I'm three drinks in, the girls go, have you guys ever done drugs? I'm like, what are you, fucking cops? She just goes, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? She goes, you gotta be honest with them girls. I smoked marijuana a couple times. I didn't like it very much. Made me throw up, never smoked it again. But your daddy's done cocaine. I go, what the fuck? I don't think they're looking for recommendations, Leanne. She's like, go and tell him. Tell him the truth now. I was like, okay, I tried cocaine one time.
He shifts his eyes from side to side.
I didn't like it very much. Made me throw up, never did it again. And I hear her fucking laughing. She goes, that's a lie, your dad has done cocaine a lot. I was like, well, your mom lost her virginity when she was 13. Go ahead, tell him that story. Yeah. Yeah. She's a whore. And she just leans into it. She goes, first of all, I was almost 14. And shit, ain't nothing to do with my hometown but fuck, fight, and race. I'm like, who did I marry, Ricky Bobby? She's like, sorry, I ain't no prude like your daddy. Your daddy's only been with six people. And he lost in Virginia, he was 17. I was like, first of all, I've been with six women, not people. And 17 is a normal number, but they've already heard 13. Now they're looking at me like,
oh. Covers his mouth, eyes wide.
Were you homeschooled, Dad? I'm like, 13 is the fucked up number in this story. 17's no, I'm so sorry I wasn't molested like your mother. And I didn't spend high school in the back of a pickup truck in a field all next. I fucking hate that I love this woman. My buddy sold his company, made a lot of money, got rid of his old wife, upgraded, 27 years old. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. He brought her to her house. He was showing her off. He's like, she can't read at all. That night, I get in bed with my wife, my old one. Socks on under the covers. Sweater on, bifocals, reading a magazine. He's got to lick that dead old dry finger to turn a page.
He slowly licks his finger, then giggles.
I was drunk. I leaned over. Now listen, this is the relationship I have with my wife, okay? I just leaned over, look at her and go, I wonder what I could upgrade to. She looks at me and goes, I'd like to see you fucking try. She's all, you wouldn't know what to do with the floor model. New car smell with the push button start. I said, yeah, I've been working with the old beater for too long.
He mimes pushing a pedal.
You ever get your wife close to an orgasm and watch it just disappear? You get her right there. Then the cat jumps up on the bed. Are we fucking this bitch? You're like, God damn it, Gus, Gus, get the fuck out of here. Here, let me go.
He thrusts
one,
his
two,
hips.
Three. That's how it's done. Jesus, fuck. I'm fast at sex. I'm so fast. One time, I had an orgasm and she laughed. She goes, shit, I don't think you could have gotten AIDS from that one. She's a bully. A fucking bully. She doesn't give me a blowjob. Oh, no. She toys with me. Grabs my dick. Stares at me just.
His eyes widen. He opens his mouth and moves it just past the mic. He taps the mic.
Is this thing on? Do you know how soul-sucking it is to have to fake laugh to get your dick sucked? As a comedian, I told my buddy Tom this. He goes, that would break my spirit. He goes, do you know what I would do if I was lucky enough to suck your cock? I was like, please tell me.
Bert raises his eyebrows.
He said, I'd respect the fact that you're a comedian and I would bring you original material every time. I said, like what? He didn't even flinch. He goes, I'd grab your dick, look you in the eyes, and go, this week, on a very special episode of Man Versus Food. One man takes one dick to the mouth until it explodes. We cried laughing. And then 1 month later, I'm in bed with my wife. She goes down to give me a blowjob. I have completely forgotten about the conversation I had with Tom. Until she...
He taps the mic.
Taps on my dick, and I start laughing hysterically. She goes, finally, you get it. I said, what? She goes, you get the joke. It's a microphone. I said, you thought I didn't get the joke? She goes, well, you don't laugh. I said, because it's not fucking funny. She goes, well, if it's not funny, why are you laughing now? I said, I'm thinking about Tom.
He shifts his eyes from side to side. He takes a few steps, then stops.
He does this better than you.
Bert paces.
She's turned my daughters into bullies. Yeah, we're watching a documentary the other night. Documentary on Gandhi. All I said was, I don't get the whole hunger strike thing. My daughter Georgia looks me up and down and goes, no shit. They don't call me dad. They have nicknames for me like Chunk. Or fetus. They call me fetus. They had a nickname they were calling me behind my back for 2 years. We're at dinner one night. Leanne sends a text. Both the girls giggle. Oh, good one, Mom. I said, what is it? They said, you wouldn't get it. I said, I'm the funniest motherfucker at this table. My comedy's paying for this dinner and those teeth. Run it by me. I was like, I don't think you'd find it funny. So I go to the bathroom. I come back quick. I look over Isla's shoulder. She's slow. What I see is a series of pictures of me, and the chat thread is titled Baby Walrus. My stomach drops. I sit down at the table. I go, what the fuck is Baby Walrus? They freeze. They're like, oh, it's not what's Baby Walrus. It's who's Baby Walrus.
I said, who the fuck is Baby Walrus? Isla goes, I think you know who Baby Walrus is. Georgia goes, calm down, Dad. It's just Mom thinks when you put on fancy clothes, you look like a baby walrus who's trying to escape from the zoo.
His eyes widen.
I looked at Leanne and she goes, and calm down, you actually behave like a baby walrus. I said, no, I don't. And then the waitress came over and she goes, double Tito's and soda, big glass, no lime. I didn't even think I did it. I went, ah.
He rolls his head back and forth.
Isla pulls out her phone. Baby walrus loves vodka. Click, click. I will destroy these women. My daughters are dumb as fuck. We went camping one time. Whole family goes camping. Middle of nowhere, 10 o'clock at night. Girls are roasting marshmallows. Leanne's over by the tent cleaning up. I'm drinking moonshine. 10 o'clock at night, we hear a gunshot ring out. Just, we're frozen. Leanne's a redneck. She's like, someone got their period or whatever.
He kicks a leg out to the side. He laughs, shaking his head.
She's not even this big of a redneck, but she hates this accent. So it's gonna get worse throughout the show. It's 10 o'clock at night, we heard a gunshot, we're fucking frozen. No one says a word for 10 seconds. And then we hear another gunshot ring out. My daughter Isla pulls her marshmallow out of the fire, looks at all of us very confidently and goes, well?
Eyes and mouth wide open.
We know it's not a suicide.
He holds up his hands and shifts his eyes from side to side. He shakes his head.
I was like, thanks, Matlock. She goes, two gunshots, Dad. I know. I follow your math there, big brain. This child will make you stupid by proxy.
He paces.
We're in the car one time. George is up front. I'm driving. Isla's in the back seat. And we drive past a sign that says, deaf child. And immediately I hear the think tank in the back start bubbling. Isla just to herself goes, whoa, well, that's racist. I go, nope, no, it's not. It's not what racism looks like. And Georgia goes, Isla, they put that sign up so that we know when we're in this neighborhood, we should probably lower our radios. I'm like, what the fuck? No, finish this. I want to hear the end of this. She goes, so we don't rub it in that we can hear, right, Dad? I'm like, no, that's not. Shit, you're dumber than she is. No, Georgia, that's not why they have that. It's so you know there's a kid that may not hear your car coming, Georgia. And then Isla leans up at the front and goes, so are deaf kids like guns? Do you have to register them with the state?
He blinks. His mouth hangs open.
I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, well, Dad, how do they know where to put those signs? And now I'm sitting in the front seat of this clown car, thinking sincerely to myself, how do they know where to put those signs? You cannot put me and this child together. We're bad news. We're dumb as fuck, and we have impulse control problems. We went to Georgia's choir concert one time, 4 hours long, just to set the scene. 4 hours of choir. And Leanne doesn't even sit in the room. She sits in the back and sells baked goods with her friends and chit-chats for 4 hours. Meanwhile, Isla and I have to sit in the front row for 4 hours. She's having a blast. Isla and I are getting fucked in the ass. 2 hours in this choir concert, choir teacher comes out and lets us know they're auctioning off the use of the school snow machine to the highest bidder. Opening bid is $50, and I feel Isla shaking like a junkie next to me. I go, what's wrong with you? And she goes, fetus. We need that snow machine. I'm like, oh, we're getting that fucking snow machine. She's like, should I go out and ask Mom? I'm like, oh, fuck that bitch, she's not here. I'm a parent also, Isla, I can make decisions too. She's like, do we have $50? I go, baby, without your mom in the room, we have stupid fucking money.
Watch and learn. I'm about to drop a big dick on this room. I stand up in the front row. Teacher gets excited. Do I hear an opening bid of $50? I said, honey, let's cut out the riffraff. Make it 500. Room goes crazy. I sit down. Isla's shaking back and forth. Oh! I go, what's wrong with you? She goes, you just dropped a big dick on that room, Dad.
He paces across the stage.
Laughter dies out. I hear one dad in the back still laughing. I'm like, shit, we got a problem. I was like, what is it? And I said, there's another alcoholic dad in here looking for some action. It's gonna be a long night, baby. Dude in the back just stands up quick. 550. Whole room does that. Oh. Except for my daughter, who punches me in the leg and goes, stand up and be a man. Tell him 600, Dad. I said, no, baby, that's not how we're gonna play it. Now's when we hit him with the razzle dazzle. She goes, what's that? I said, you stand up, you say 600, then turn around and wink at him. Now she's turned into a baby walrus. She goes, I can do that? I go, if you don't do it, you're sleeping outside tonight. This is what 1,000 parents saw. A fifth grader in the front row. Stand up. Now, in all fairness, I didn't know she was nervous. I also didn't know the kid couldn't fucking wink, okay? Who the fuck can't wink? She turns around, trembling, finds her guy, goes, $600, and then proceeds to have a seizure, trying to ink out a wink, just...
His face contorts as he blinks repeatedly. He rolls his head around and squeezes his eyes shut. He covers one eye with his hand and moves his head erratically.
Sits down, she goes, how did I do, Dad? I go, you just dropped a big dick on that room, I. Old boy in the back is losing his fucking mind. He stands up, he goes, baby girl, $700. I'm like, whoa, you coming after my daughter, bro? I stand up, stare him down. I go, $800. Isla stands up, $900.
Bert rolls his eyes. He exhales and shakes his head.
I'm like, you're bidding against me, you fucking moron. She's ear to ear. Hit him with the razzle dazzle, Dad. We won that snow machine for $1,800. Yeah. Yeah. I got in trouble. I did. My behavior was questionable. I can't tell if it's me or the fact that I live in LA. Like, I think if I lived here, I'd be like a pretty normal dad.
He picks up his water glass.
Dare I say progressive.
He takes a sip and puts it back down.
But in LA, I'm a problem. I'm gonna tell you a story, but do not insert your politics into it, okay? Just listen to the story, enjoy the story for what it is.
He raises his palm.
Okay. End of Isla's fifth grade year, they throw a dance. They taught all the kids the foxtrot in fifth grade, right? As parents, we sit in the auditorium, we watch kids do the foxtrot on stage, go out, milk and cookies, 8:30 in the morning, call it a day, boom. We show up at 8 o'clock, kids aren't on stage, kids are in the auditorium, teacher's off to the side, she's crying, parents are irate. It's a shit show. Pull us outside as the parents, teacher addresses the parents. All I can do is apologize. What I've done is horrific, and if you will allow me the opportunity to keep my job, I will do better. In the back, I'm like, someone fucked a kid. I'm starting to loosen up to go high five a fifth grader.
He swings his arm around.
And she says, 2 weeks ago, in preparing for this dance, I assumed your children's gender and I paired them up boy-girl. Now, I understand what an egregious error I have made. And if you give me an opportunity, I will show you I'm not the monster you think I am. Now, hold on. I want to say this real quick, just so we're clear. I want every child in this world to feel 100% awesome 100% of the time, and I'll do whatever I can to make that happen. That is how I feel. But it's fifth grade, right? Like, it's 8 a.m, we're hungover, let's wrap it up. I think we're done, right? Cool, forgiven. First parent stands up. She goes, hi, my name is Jennifer, pronouns she, her. I'm like, oh shit. This isn't gonna go well.
He paces.
She goes, our household are strong allies. We have family members in the community, and I want you to know that I can hear that apology, but it is shallow. Actions speak louder than words, so if you do keep your job, you should do better. And she sits down. Now, I don't know if you know how this works, but the next parent has to out-liberal the first parent. You can't just be like, eh, because then you look like Alex Jones. Frogs are gay! Woo! And it goes around the horn. They light this bitch up left and right. And the teacher, God bless her, she's taking it on the chin. Until it gets to me and Leanne, I'm like, I'll take this. Leanne's like, please don't. I said, hi, my name's Bert. I'm Isla's parent.
He shifts his eyes from side to side.
I said, first off, it's fifth grade. No one's finger fucking in the back of a Jetta tonight. It's 8:30 in the morning. Everyone's listening now, right? I said, as Isla's parent, it goes without saying that I do not care if my child dances with a boy or dances with a girl. I will do everything in my power to love her and support her. Yeah. As long as it's white. Now...
He raises his palm, then breaks into a wide-mouthed smile.
How do you knock over the fucking joke? It's right there! It's 8 a.m, they didn't see it coming! The pronoun parents lost their fucking shit! Ah! Leanne hops up, he's a comedian!
A silly walk.
They're like, listen to her accent, they're racist! Dude. I'll tell you the worst one. The worst one, Leanne and I one time went to a wine tasting / raffle, right? Tuesday night, on the way there, Leanne's in the car, she's driving, she's like, let's not get fucking wasted tonight. I'm like, too late. I've been drinking in the shower. It's a Tuesday night, I'm getting fucking ripped. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I have a one hitter in my pocket, it's going down. Get there, I've never been to a wine tasting. They don't give you like, big goblets. They give you these little baby cups of wine, like Michael Jackson's about to eat her asshole.
He shrugs.
I think that's how he did it. I'm not sure. So I bail on the tasting, find the dads that party. 10 dads over by the stage. They've already bought all their wine. They've opened up the bottles, and they're drinking like it's Game of Thrones. One dad's in an Austin 316 shirt. I'm like, that's my fucking table. So I go over to them, chop it up, work my way over to the raffle towards the end of the night. My buddy Darren Turbo's running the raffle. I go, yo, what you got in the pot? He's like, I've only sold 40 tickets. I said, oh, your prizes suck? He goes, no, I got 12 great prizes. I said, bullshit, why is no one buying tickets? He goes, I guess the parents found out that the money for this raffle doesn't go to our school, it goes to an underprivileged school. So they don't want to chip in if their kids aren't going to benefit. They'd rather just spend their money on wine. I'm like, are you fucking serious? He goes, I guess. I said, okay.
He narrows his eyes.
How many tickets do you want to sell? He was like, well, 700 is our goal. I said, cool, put me in for 660. He's like, for real? I said, yeah, but close the raffle right now. He goes, Bert, if I do that, you're gonna win a lot of the prizes. I go, Darren, I wanna win all of them. He goes, but if you do that, I think that'll upset some of the parents. I go, quite honestly, it would break my heart if it didn't. I look at him, I go, you want to make your money or not? He goes, no, I want to make that money. I said, then give me 660 raffle tickets. Close the raffle right now and do not tell a soul. He's like, what about Leanne? I go, definitely don't tell her. This man took me to the back of a wine bar and started a giggle that lasted the entire evening as he peeled off.
He mimes using the mic cord.
660 tickets. When he handed them to me, he was shaking like he was selling drugs in ninth grade. I ripped off the first ticket and the last ticket. I said, Darren, anything in between, you know I have. I have never been more excited for any event in my life. The birth of my children,
thumbs down.
I picked the table furthest from the stage where they were calling the numbers and mapped out my parade route. I had two tickets in my hand. Leanne came over. She's like, you bought raffle tickets? I go, a couple. He called the first number. I practically leapt out of my shoes. I was like, oh, that's me. I bumped into every parent on the way. Oh, I'm so sorry. I won. I have the winning ticket. There's 12 prizes, and I won the first one. Bert Kreischer, yes, that's my name. I'm so sorry. I get to this stage, grab my prize. 10 drunk dads are right there. They're like, what did you win, Bert? I go, it's a Fitbit. I'll be tracking my steps tonight, boys.
Bert struts confidently.
Get back to the table, look at Leanne, I go, make some fucking room. He calls out the next number, I go, oh shit! That's me too! I start to walk. My wife, unprovoked, stands up on the foot of her stool and announces to this wine bar, my husband is the luckiest guy in the world. I swear to God, I wouldn't be shocked if he won all 12 prizes.
A wide mouth smile.
I'm on stage now, like from her mouth to God's ears. Grab my prize, 10 drunk dads are like, what did you win, Bert? I go, don't know, don't fucking care. Get back to the center, I go, call the next fucking number, Darren. He calls it, I look at Leanne, I go, bingo, bitch.
He raises a pointed finger and strikes a pose.
The king is back. Now I'm just staring at parents going, what did I win, Darren? He is crying, laughing, and he goes, diamond earrings. I go, well, pierce my ears and call me Caitlin.
He rests his elbow on the mic stand.
I'm on stage putting diamonds in my high school holes when I see the energy of the room shift. It's starting in the back with a circle of people around the principal who yells out, check his tickets! I yell back, mind your own business! She does not like that. And now she storms the stage. I see three prizes, but only two tickets. I want to see his tickets. Darren Turbo is laughing way too hard to do anything. And I watch the energy of the room halt. The dudes in the kitchen, they're not cooking anymore. They're looking out that little sliver of a window just.
Eyes and mouth open wide.
The bartender, who was making a drink, audibly slows down just.
He holds the mic as a drink shaker.
The 10 drunk dads, who trusted me, now are looking at me like I let them down. The way a child looks at his sports hero and goes, say it ain't so, OJ.
He looks up hopefully.
I let that energy breathe.
He gathers up the mic cord into long loops.
As I reached into my pockets, grabbed onto 658 tickets like they were a hot rattlesnake, threw them in the air and went, read them away, motherfuckers!
He throws the long length of cord into the air and struts across the stage.
The room went fucking bananas. 10 drunk dads are pounding on the table. Let's fucking go! The principal is livid. I look at Leanne, she is not laughing. Principal sees this, makes a beeline to my wife, gets in her face and goes, "You need to make him stop right now." My wife doesn't even miss a beat, takes a breath and goes, "Sugar, he hadn't even started." Oh. Honey, there's 9 more prizes and his shirt's still on. It's gonna get way worse. Then my wife kills her glass of red wine, looks at the stage and goes, "Call the next fucking number, Darren." Prize number 4, my shirt came off. Prize number 5, Steve Austin's shirt came off.
He leans on the mic stand.
Prize number 6, a mom unwittingly in the back said just a little too loud, "Who the fuck is this guy?" To which the bartender replied, "He's the fucking machine!"
Laughing, he goes over to the stool and picks up the glass of water. He races it to the audience before taking a drink.
By prize 11, the room was polarized. You either absolutely loved what was going on, like the 10 drunk dads and the bartender, or you hated it. And if you hated it, you were now surrounding the stage, protesting the raffle. These Capitol Stormers were unhappy with the outcome of their day and took it up. Look, when he called prize 12, I knew what I had to do. I had to hit him with the suck it. Just
he thrusts his hips.
20 of them surrounded just around the horn. Suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck, 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 suck. I was ready. It was my job. And as he called the number, I go to hit the first person with the suck it and realize I don't have that ticket. Oh, you think you were upset? 10 drunk dads are pounding on the table going, "Recount, recount." The people that hated me were mocking me at the top of their lungs. They're like, "That's what you get, fat boy. Put your shirt on, loser. You're a loser." They were so loud, I could barely hear my wife in the back corner go, "Oh, that's me."
He saunters over to the stool.
We won all 12 prizes.
He takes a sip of water.
And then I spent the rest of the night drunk, shirtless, with my ears pierced, holding 11 prizes, walking up to parents going, "What did you guys win?" "Oh, that's right, I won everything. I totally forgot." The best part of that story, in my opinion, is that Leanne got it. That she got the joke. She didn't always get the joke, you know? Like, some things just...
He hesitates and looks up.
January 2020. I'm on a flight with my wife to Burlington, Vermont. We get a text from my buddy, Tom Segura. Now, yes, yeah. If you do not know who that is, he's a stand-up comedian who cannot do... that.
A single hop and skip.
That simple act, that little act will make this leg explode and this arm will break in half right here and spin in circles. Crazy, crazy. Big racist. Now he said, yeah. Big fan of Nazis. Anyway, Tom sends me and Leanne a text and it says, the group text, it says, "Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard about this new virus called the coronavirus, but it's a real thing, and I just read an article in the LA Times. There's been an outbreak in your neighborhood. Here's a link to the article I read. You might want to check it out." This is January 2020. I'm in a panic. I have heard of it, but I'm like, in our neighborhood? So I clicked the link. I don't know if you got this, but it wasn't an article.
Bert lowers himself into a squat. He glances down between his legs.
It was a picture of a black man naked on the side of a bed, just
He hangs the microphone between his legs and gently swings it an inch above the floor. He picks up the mic and stands up.
I open the link, see the picture, I laugh. It's funny, right? I finish my double Jack on the rocks, lots of rocks. I pass out. I wake up in Burlington, Vermont to my wife in a tizzy. We're on the tarmac. She goes, "Did you get that text from Tommy?" I said, "Yeah, I did." She goes, "Fucking terrifying."
He inclines his head and squints.
I said, "I wouldn't say that. I think that's racist. I mean, it's more than I could fit, but yeah." She goes, "No, it's in our neighborhood." I go, "Did you click the link?" She goes, "No, I didn't have time to. Flight attendant made me put my phone away." I said, "You have to click the link." She goes, "Is it bad?" I said, it's worse than you think. And I watched this woman click that link. And the picture of that man, his name's Wood, fittingly, comes up. And I watch her just see it. And she just goes, "Oh, no," and swipes out. My wife doesn't like looking at big cocks. So, thankfully, she looks at me confused. Now, I'm just chuckling. She clicks the link again. Must have been user error, right? Same picture shows up, only this time I watch her attempt to scroll as if she's gonna find an article attached to that picture. Finds no such article, swipes out, clicks the link a third fucking time. I am now crying laughing. And she goes, "I don't know what's so funny, my phone's broken."
Bert looks around.
I said, "It's a joke." She goes, "What?" I said, "What do you mean, what? It's a picture. You thought you were going to read an article. Now you're looking at this tremendous cock. It's a joke." She goes, "That's not funny." I said, "I disagree. I watched you open it three times. It got funnier and funnier." Her face goes white, and she goes, "No, that's not funny. I sent that to all the moms at Georgia school."
Bert's eyes open wide. He bites on his knuckles and saunters across the stage laughing.
I go, you're right, that's not funny. That's fucking epic! I grab her phone and read the replies from the moms. The best were the cool moms who were like, "I hope that doesn't hit my house." One mom's like, "My ninth grader's not ready for that." Our friend Lynn Grusin wrote back, "Are you sure that's the coronavirus? I think I had that in college." And then she goes even paler and she goes, "I sent that to our girls." I called George. I go, "George, mom sent you a link to an article. Did you see it?" She goes, "Dad, I can't unsee it."
Wide-eyed.
"I was at softball practice, Dad. I opened it up in front of the coach." I was like, "What did coach say?" "Coach said we need to get one of those for batting practice." I go, "What about your sister?" She throws Isla the phone. I go, "Isla, mom sent you a link to an article. Did you see it?" She goes, "I did." I said, "What did you think?" She goes, "Interesting article."
Bert shakes his head.
My daughters have the most fucked up sense of humor. For George's birthday one year, she gets a psychic. It's gonna tell her and all her friends about their past lives, right? So the lady comes over to the house. She's 100 years old. Sits down at the table across from George and all her friends. Isla and I are at the end. She goes, "Okay, who's the birthday girl?" Isla hits me and goes, "One hell of a psychic, Dad."
He laughs.
George is like, I am. She puts her palm on the lady and goes, "Okay."
Looking at his palm.
"In a past life, you are a general in a great war. You were responsible for the death of 257 men. Those men's souls will haunt you until the day you die." Isla's next to me, she just goes, "Happy birthday to you." Wait. The best one?
For one of George's birthdays, both the girls pull me aside and they're like, hey, Dad, we want to go to an escape room. I'm like, oh, both you geniuses? You guys are going to put all 80 IQ points together and see what happens in a room? Shut the fuck up. They're like, we want you to go too. I go, oh, you want to add drugs and alcohol? Okay. Good call. They go, no, you and Papa. I go, I'm going to stop you right there. Me and my dad don't work well together as a team. Okay, ladies? It's not going to end well. It's going to end horrifically. And they both are looking at me and they go, yeah, we know. I said, what? And Georgia goes, that's what I want for my birthday. I want to see Papa lose his shit and you have a panic attack.
He raises his eyebrows and gapes.
I was like, all right, it's cheap. I'll call him. So I call my dad. My dad is 75 years old, lives in Tampa, losing his hearing. I call him. I go, hey, Dad, when you guys are out in L.A., the girls want to go to an escape room. He goes, rape room?
Bert rolls his eyes.
I go, yeah, Dad, that's what they want. They want to go get raped together, all of us. And then after we're all been raped, we want to go to the Cheesecake Factory if you're up for it. I go, no, Dad, an escape room. And he goes, escape room? What the fuck's an escape room? And I hear my mom in their kitchen going, yes, we're going. I saw about this on the internet. We're going. I've always wondered how I'd fare in a kidnapping. My dad's like, pump your brakes, Maggie. We're not going. What the fuck is an escape room? And my mom's like, they grab you, they throw you in a van. I'm like, don't listen to mom, Dad. Don't listen to mom. I go, Dad, it's a room where we pay these kids $200. They lock us in the room. And we got to figure out how to get out. And he's quiet on the phone for a second. He goes, give me $50. I'll lock your kids in a car. My mom snatches the phone away from him. And she goes, yes, we're going. Tell my granddaughters we're going. They can count on us. Are we supposed to wear leather? I'm like, easy, Mom. So we go. Me, my wife, my parents, my daughters, we all go. Now, here's where it starts to veer wrong. As we start driving there, you know how escape rooms normally happen in like a mall? This was in a dude's house. He had converted every room in his house into an escape room, much like John Wayne Gacy. We pull into the neighborhood, my dad's like, no fucking way. George is like, Papa, I heard it's really scary. He goes, I'm shitting my pants right now, ladies. We see a house painted all black, no landscaping. Leanne's like, I think that's it. My dad's like, keep fucking going. Get out, go up to the door, knock on the door. Dude's already in character. Oh, dude, it's LA, this guy's good. Silk robe, towel around his head, stroking a kitty cat, and he just goes.
He mimes stroking a cat. He narrows his eyes.
Have you seen my mother? My dad grabs my hand, he goes, what the fuck did he just say? I go, he's looking for his mother, and he goes, tell him his mother can suck my dick. My dad's like, is this real? I go, it's part of the escape room, Dad, just play along. He goes, would you guys like to see a tour of my house? And my mom's in it, yes, we would love to see a tour of your house. What's your mother's name? How old is she? Where did she go to college? Take these down, Isla, these are notes. So we go on a tour of the house. The women are into it, and my dad is picking this guy apart left and right. He's like, he smells like shit. Buddy, I think he fucking lives here. I think he lives. What kind of fucking lunatic lives where every room is an... He was just eating lunch.
Pretending to peer into a room.
Buddy, he's eating mac and cheese with coffee. Who the fuck drinks coffee? Black coffee with mac and cheese? He's got IBS. I guarantee you he's got IBS. I'm like, I don't think these are helpful clues, Dad. The guy comes in, he goes, would you guys like to see mother's room? My dad goes, absolutely fucking not. My mom's like, yes, we want to see your mother's room. He's like, well, mother doesn't allow car keys, cell phones, or wallets in a room, so you'll need to empty your pockets and put them on the kitchen table. And like sheep, we're like, okay. We empty our pockets, walk into the room, and the second I step into the room, I feel the door shut and locked behind me, and I have a panic attack. The first thing I think is, he didn't ask our names.
He squints.
We didn't give him a credit card. We didn't fill out a waiver. We didn't even really check the address. We just saw one sketchy house in a neighborhood, knocked on the door. He presented a problem, and we're like, the Scooby-Doo gang will figure it out. And now we're locked in his fucking house. My dad's next to me going, tell me where I steer wrong in this story. Did you just walk your family into a serial killer's house? Georgia goes, Papa, isn't this scary? He goes, you have no fucking idea. You two are getting sold to the goddamn Albanians tonight. You'll be working in a Chechen whorehouse the rest of your lives. I was like, Papa, how do you think we get out of here? He goes, well, I think I'm gonna have to suck that guy's dick. Someone's sucking his dick. I nominate your shithead dad. My mom's in the corner. Do you think he's gonna tie us up? My dad's like, shut the fuck up, Maggie. Your shithead son just walked us into a serial killer's house who smells like shit. Did anyone smell this guy? Maybe it's because he eats mac and cheese and coffee all fucking day. Guy's like, sir, I can hear you. Now I'm having a full-blown anxiety attack, and for me, they happen in my stomach, and I have to shit immediately. I'm looking around the room for a vase or something to shit in. My dad knows me way too well. He goes, oh, fucking no, you don't. It's tennis camp all over again. Maggie's gonna shit in the houseplant. God damn it, this fucking shithead walks us into a serial killer's house and now he's gonna shit in his mom's room. My daughters are skipping, they're so excited. My wife is a fucking savage. She solved four clues by herself. Pulls a lever under the desk, house lights drop out. We hear two screams and a thud. Lights click back on. I'm holding both my daughters like a human shield. My mother's on the floor in a steamer trunk. Your father threw me into the wall. My dad's like, fuck her, she's a liar, she tripped. Guy's like, I saw it, he threw her into the wall. Leanne solves two more clues and a trap door opens up out of the wall, exposing a crawl space, 2 feet tall by 3 feet wide, down the length of the wall into another room. My mom sticks her head in, pops out, and goes,
smiling broadly.
I think we should all get in the wall. My dad's like, you first. She gets in the wall, he turns around, he goes, fuck her, she's dead to us. Good riddance, we didn't need her. Leanne gets in the wall, and he goes, there goes the goddamn brains of the operation. I'm stuck with you three shitheads, get in the fucking wall. I go, I'm not getting in the wall, Dad. Georgia goes, Papa, make Dad get in the wall. I go, Georgia, I'm claustrophobic. Isla's like, what's Christmas have to do with this, Dad? Shut the fuck up, Isla. My dad's like, buddy, I got bad news for you. You're getting in that fucking wall. He goes, girls, you get in first. Big guy, I will be behind you. You close your eyes. Listen to my voice. I'll coach you through the wall. And trust me. If you freeze up, I will bulldoze your ass through that fucking wall. Now let's fucking go. And we get in the wall. My daughters, me, my dad, and I listen to his voice, just like when I was a kid and played baseball. We got this, big guy. We can do anything. Listen to my voice. We can do this. Me and you, big team. Now.
He leans on the mic stand.
I don't know if it was the angle of my body.
He turns to the side and bends over.
The anxiety.
He rubs his belly.
That was resting in my stomach. Or shimmying on all fours.
He takes a few slow steps, then stands.
But I let out a novel virus fart, like the kind of farts that come out of your ass like hot breath, just. Oh. You know the kind of farts that escape your body like a curse out of a mummy's sarcophagus? Just. The kind of farts that burn your asshole. Just the fart. The air burns your asshole. And you think to yourself, that was air. I'm going to be shitting blood later. And I release it into my father's mouth, human centipede style. He goes from coach to cunt real quick, just
bent over.
We got this, big guy.
We can. No, fuck. Keep going. We can do anything. What the fuck? I think we rolled up on a dead animal. I think it's asbestos. It's burning my eyes. Keep moving. I feel like I'm in the tunnel from Shawshank Redemption. Why aren't you moving? It's in my skin. It's burning my clothes. Move, asshole. I turn around. I go, I can't. I think I'm going to shit. He goes, you did this? You did this? I think you gave me cancer. I can taste it in my molars. Keep moving.
He stands up.
My daughters come flying out of that wall, the happiest they've ever fucking been. Go right up to my mom and they go, Nana, it's happening. I come out of the wall, I'm like, Nana, big guy's unhappy. My dad comes out of that wall like Saddam Hussein out of a spider hole.
A high kick.
Cocksucker, motherfucker! God, you're going to a fucking doctor! That is not healthy. That is not. He shits like your side of the family, Maggie. You need a colonoscopy. You need a colonoscopy. That's what's wrong. I'm telling you, where the fuck's your goddamn wife? Leanne comes out of the rafters of the ceiling and is like, I think I saw the escape room, Albert. Try one of the doors. He goes, the fuck I will. Grabs the first handle of three on the wall. And it doesn't move. It just blocked. My daughters now have crossed their legs. They're about to piss their pants. He is at a level 9. Motherfucker! Grabs the next door. Nothing. Cocksucker! Grabs the third door. And as it flies open, he turns his back to the door, looks at us, and goes, fucking finally. He doesn't see what we see, which is a 90-year-old woman in her nightgown, in a closet. She's been in this closet for 45 minutes. I don't know who's more scared, her or us. She's trying to adjust her eyes to the light and remember her line, and she just goes, no, my dad shuts the door, puts his heel on it, and he's like, everybody back in the fucking wall. My girls are now on the fucking floor. Georgia looks at me and goes, this is better than I thought it could have ever been. My dad looks at me and goes, what the fuck are they talking about? I go, Dad, you're not going to be happy when you hear this. But the only reason they wanted you to come is for this right now. He goes, to solve the escape room? I go, no. To watch you lose your shit. He's still standing there, heel on the door. Looks around the room like he's trying to find someone to love.
Bert shifts his eyes from side to side.
Lands on my daughters and he goes, you wanted this? This is what you wanted. Looks at his watch and he goes, my Apple Watch says my heart rate's 154. I'm 75 years old, ladies. I'm on 9 different medications. I got high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Your father just shit in my mouth. And we got the old lady from Titanic locked in a fucking closet. And this is what you wanted? Isla looks at Georgia and goes, happy birthday to you.
Bert raises his arm.
Omaha!
A standing ovation.
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
He throws the mic onto the floor and stands with his arm raised. He smiles and raises both arms, pointing to the ceiling. He goes over to the stool, raises his water glass, and drinks it all down. He holds his arm up as he leaves the stage. Credits: audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Written by Shanna Selwyn and narrated by Paula Hoffman. Written and performed by Bert Kreischer. Executive producer Bert Kreischer. Directed by Jeff Tomsic. Executive producers Leanne Kreischer, Tony Hernandez, John Skidmore, Judy Marmo, and Jeff Tomsic. Produced by Adam Donnelly and Matt Beals. Director of Photography, Jordan Levy. Edited by Dave Harrison. Stage Manager, April Smith. Sound Recorder, John DeUva. Orpheum Theater, Omaha, Nebraska. Copyright 2023 Netflix. A graphic of Bert's face on a round, wrinkled sticker. Logo, Bert Incorporated. Logo, Jax Media.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.